Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is our podcast. As you know by now, my name is Ben. I write some videos for the website HowStuffWorks.com.
And I'm Scott. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Scotty B.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. You came to work in a car today?
Yeah, I did. You know, I know where you're going with this, but I gotta totally interrupt you for something that you didn't even know was coming up. I'm interrupting your smooth segue for something that you had no idea was coming.
What's coming up?
Well, there's something interesting that I found in my notes that I've got to.
Just Kanye Wested me, man.
I know. I brought it up right in the middle of nowhere there. Yeah. But here's the thing. We talked a little while back about the lunar rover.
Yes.
Okay. I've been feeling guilty about this ever since because after I went back to my desk and sat down, I realized that the lunar rover was a suggestion from a listener.
Oh.
And we didn't call that out, and I forgot that it was in there, quite frankly.
You're right, man. We didn't.
So there's a credit that we need to give to a listener. His name is Maurice from Avon, Connecticut, and Maurice had suggested the lunar rover, and we forgot to mention that during the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'll just leave it at that. But sorry about that, Maurice, and it was unintentional, but I'm glad I found it in my notes because I keep my notes forever.
And we both really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And see, Scott, you give yourself a hard time about those notes.
I know.
But look at that.
They pay off.
They save the bacon.
Now, I'm going to let you start up again where you said...
Oh, can I? Is that okay, Kanye?
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
I command you to start up again, Ben. The thing is, you said, hey, Scott, you came to work in a car today,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Hit me with it.
Okay, let's do it again. Hey, Scott, you came to car and it works. All right. Look, strange vehicles.
I certainly did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
A normal car.
Work in a car, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right. Normal. But we're going to talk about strange cars.
Yes, strange vehicles,
Strange vehicles. You know, that's a good point because some of these aren't really cars.
Mm-hmm.
We are soon to have an article on the site, which may already be there. I'm not sure. Hmm. But we have a kind of a top... 5 countdown of strange vehicles. We can go through that list quickly, but then this is kind of the interesting thing about these is that, you know, he's got this freelance writer that wrote this article for us has a great list.
Sure.
But I have my own list of strange vehicles. I'm sure you have your own list of strange vehicles. I'm sure that every single listener has their own list of strange vehicles.
Right.
There's a million of them out there, and it depends on what you think is strange.
Mm-hmm.
So you may think that, you know, the new Ford Taurus is strange.
I think prowlers look kind of weird.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you may think minivans are strange.
Sure.
But we're talking about, you know, cars that look like fish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some really, really strange cars. So you want to just go down this list real quickly?
Let's
here
do
with
the article, yeah.
The article list, and then we'll get on to our own personal favorites.
Okay.
How about that? So the way that this author ranked them, we'll go from 5 down to 1. And
sounds
again,
good.
It's vehicles. Number 5 came in... this is one of my pet peeves. Flying cars. The Terrafugia Transition. I don't know if you said that right.
How the tide has turned, Mr. Benjamin.
Terrafugia Transition.
Yes, which is actually probably one of the only serious competitors for a flying car.
It honestly is a working flying car. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea? No. But it's a... What?
All right, just to recap for anyone who hasn't listened.
I was just climbing up on top of my soapbox, Ben.
Okay, no. You know what? That time I Kanye'd you.
Okay.
Please go.
Fantastic. No, please continue on because you know my feelings.
Okay, just to break it down and stop me if I misspeak. Originally, when Scott and I covered flying cars, as you'll recall, Scott, we had a slight difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think flying cars are awesome. While you may agree with me in theory, you think they're a terrible idea in practicality, right? Because if everybody has one, you know, we're adding another dimension for wrecks to occur.
Correct.
What do we do if a car breaks down in the air?
Correct.
And I think that's a legitimate concern, which is why I did amend my position, and I said that flying cars are awesome if I'm the only one who has one.
We agree on that.
We agree on that.
Yes. So, number 5, flying car.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, not so cool.
All right,
number 4. I'll put you down for not so cool.
All right.
Number 4, this is the crazy one. This one you got to see a photo of because this one's nuts. The cupcake car. Have you ever heard of the cupcake car?
No, I haven't.
This is an interesting car. It cost $25,000. and the car looks like a giant cupcake. And the crazy thing is you can get – well, okay, not that that's not crazy. Now, if you're buying a $25,000 cupcake, it was sold by Neiman Marcus. So Neiman Marcus has these – and these are electric-powered cupcake cars. They've got a 24-volt electric motor. You can get it customized however you like to look however you want. And we've got a photo on our website on the page for this article. And the drivers are all wearing hats that match the cupcakes.
Of course they are.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Of course they are.
These are ridiculous looking cars. They're hilarious to look at though, but the cupcake cars are very funny.
So like with sprinkles on them, that would be like a customization?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And they've got, whatever kind of, icing design on top of them.
They're electric.
Funny stuff.
There's that.
They are electric, yeah, but, man.
That is weird.
Yeah, they look extremely top-heavy, too.
Okay,
yeah.
I bet.
Check it out. Check out the photo. You'll be impressed, I'll say. The next one, number three on our list was Catmobiles.
What's a Catmobile?
Now, we've heard of the Batmobile, right?
Yeah.
This is Catmobiles, and really what brings this one about, the Burning Man Festival.
Oh, those guys are artistic geniuses.
Yeah, that's right. These cars that show up for Burning Man Festival, Burning Man event, whatever you call it, outrageous. These are outrageous cars, and they're really cool. There's a whole site dedicated to the vehicles of Burning Man.
Yeah.
This author chose the Catmobiles to be the strangest because there's some really bizarre Catmobiles out there. Interesting cars. I mean, I've got a picture of one of the vehicles here. It looks like a motorcycle that looks like a fish.
Oh, wow.
In the upper corner, but that's the one from our site, actually.
Yeah.
Interesting cars. You need to go online and check out some of the Burning Man cars, but Catmobiles are really kind of strange.
Yeah. They've also got that one that looks like a spider. That's like my favorite
one. Do they really?
Yeah.
I've seen that this truck looks like a scorpion.
They're so heavily modified.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. They look like land speeders and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Fish, sharks, whatever.
There's a pyramid.
Now, here's a water car. A water car called the Python, which I've got a photo of that one too to share with you, Ben, here. So
nice.
That, if you're playing along at home, you can look on the water car site and look up the Python.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
There's a photo of it on our website on the article again. And really, it's kind of a hot rod design.
Mm-hmm.
The back end to me looks a little bit like a Corvette. It looks a little bit like a truck just because of the shape of the body.
It kind of reminds me of an El Camino.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, just because the back half, it does look like a Corvette, but then it also kind of calls to the pickup nature of the
El Camino. And the cool thing about this is it's got a Corvette engine, and on the highway, this thing can go 125 miles per hour.
What?
On the water, it can do 60 miles per hour, which is really quite fast on the water. I mean, that's pretty quick. This is a cool car. This is a neat, neat thing because we've seen these in the past where, it's a... I'm trying to think of the names of the vehicles. Was it Henry J, maybe? That was a water car that, the 1950s design, that real, real small, very tiny motor, little nylon prop.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing like this. That was slow on water and on land. This is fast either way. It's
and
a
this
sports car.
Looks more like a car.
It definitely does, yeah. And it's got the performance to to back it up. I guess the design.
Mm-hmm.
So the water car Python comes in at number two on this list.
Are we ready for the drum roll?
We are. Go ahead. Number one, the Dodge Tomahawk. Now the Tomahawk. Now we said it's not cars; it's vehicles.
Right.
So this is a motorcycle, and this is the crazy Dodge Tomahawk chopper, or not chopper, I shouldn't say, but it's a motorcycle. It's got the V10 Viper engine for power, so it's got a 500 horsepower engine. They did produce this. I mean, they've made about a dozen or 10 or something like that. They've made very limited numbers of these, and really, they're just simply conversation pieces. You can't drive them on the road.
They're not street legal.
They're not street legal. No,
I hope not. Harley Davidson, Bat Scott. Look at this thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you've never seen the Dodge Tomahawk, take a look at it, but I bet most of you have because it's so out there. The design is crazy. It's got four wheels, actually, even though it's a motorcycle.
Yeah, and the two each in a parallel.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got special tires that won't just disintegrate at speed. But they've determined no one has ever been able to take this thing up to full top speed before, but it's got a potential top speed of 400 miles per hour. It's not physically possible to hang on to the thing at that speed.
It's like a theoretical speed.
Exactly. No one has ever tested this thing to that speed before. You just can't have a rider doing that. So, That's it. I mean, the replicas, the one that they've been sold, they've also sold somewhere north of $500,000 to, you know, private individuals here and there. And just kind of an interesting thing to look at. So, but again, you can't ride it on the street.
I would be, even if I had a track at my house or, you know, on some private land, I would be hesitant to hop on that thing.
Well, I wouldn't want it to roll over on my leg. That's what I would want to happen.
Yeah, that's monstrous.
When you look at this, it looks, it's enormous. I mean, you're sitting completely behind the engine, stretched out over top of it.
Mm. And two-thirds of it is engine.
Exactly. Exactly. And turning, from what I hear, you're not going to turn on this thing quick at all, if at all.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much a straight-line motorcycle, and that's about it.
Just put a suit of armor on and go.
That's right, yeah. But I'm sure it's designed well and everything, but I don't know if I would trust this one.
Really?
Yeah, it does definitely qualify as a strange vehicle.
Because, definitely, yeah.
I mean, it's car and truck manufacturer making a motorcycle to begin with, which is strange, but then again, one that's not street legal and really has no practical purpose.
My friend, I agree with that article, but I think I think we've got a little bit stranger to go,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, sure.
That slight mangling of English.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You got a direction here?
Yeah, all of our things in this episode so far are motorized, and we can stick with that. But mm-hmm. I've got a couple that I think are wild. First, I want to tell you about the McLean V8 monowheel.
Ah, okay.
Oh, did I snipe one of yours?
You know what? We'll talk about it later. But yes, you did.
Okay, maybe just the kind of thing, but the monowheel. It's so funny because. Anybody who's familiar with G.I. Joes or action figures may recall this design is one of the few things that have actually sort of made it into toys before they made it into cars. Mm-hmm. And so this thing is picture one gigantic wheel like the almost the size of Victorian bicycles mm-hmm. on the front Victorian bicycle
wheel. Huge wheels. Yeah.
Right. The engine and the driver sit inside the wheel. And for the McLean V8, it's powered by a Buick V8 engine. It's been clocked at 53 miles an hour, although 100 miles per hour is theoretically possible. It's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's because I don't want to spoil a surprise for anybody who just bought one, but your monowheel is notoriously tough to control.
Yeah, have you seen the wreck footage of this thing?
I have not.
Yeah, this guy, his name is it Kerry? McLean. Yep. He built this V8 Buick engine-powered monowheel, or they call it a monocycle, mm-hmm. and you can actually find a video. If you search on YouTube, you can find a video that's called McLean, that's McLean, V8 Monocycle Crash. And if you search for that, you'll find a video that's about 4 minutes long. If you want to just get through, now it's like a family fun day, they say, out in some park where he's testing this thing, right?
Yeah.
And he's out driving this thing around. He does have a helmet on, but it's just one of those, like the cap type helmets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a full face shield type
like
helmet.
Like one of those old style.
Exactly. It goes just above the ears. But he's out riding this thing, and he's doing a good job, you know, all through the park there. And people are taping him. It's pretty fun. He does a high speed pass, and about the 3 minute mark, somewhere near there, he has a horrific wipeout.
Oh, no.
And this thing goes end over end, and he's tumbling. Of course, the engine is right there, you know, right in front of him.
Yeah.
It's bad news. He survives, of course. I mean, he's fine, just, you know, minor cuts and bruises. And he actually turns out he kind of reworked the design a little bit to prevent something like that from happening again. So he's still at it.
Yeah.
He's still working on this thing. You know, he still believes in it. I've actually seen this vehicle displayed in a window.
And it's road legal,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah,
it's road legal, we can drive a monowheel.
I did not
to
know
work.
That.
Well, probably not in the parking deck because you know it's kind of low.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's really tall. This thing.
Yeah.
And it looks very difficult to ride because you turn it by leaning,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, just to see you have to lean out to one side. And I would think that would throw the balance off.
Maybe you kind of put your midsection in the other direction.
Maybe. Yeah. There's a critical weight balance thing happening.
It gets weirder than that, though.
Oh, and most of these, just to put it in perspective, most of these designs, because there are other designs of this thing.
Sure, yeah.
Some are human-powered. You can pedal them.
Mm-hmm.
Others are powered by, like, maybe a small gas engine like you'd find on a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And this guy put a Buick V8 in his. And that's why maybe this one is capable of such an incredible speed.
Yeah, because he was probably building it. He had the design down.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? Why am I going to stop at 8.5 yards?
Yeah.
Let's go the whole
right.
nine.
That's right. And they did say that these things are also susceptible to gerbling. Have you ever heard of this?
No. What's gerbling?
And you'll understand it when I say it. It's funny.
Spontaneous
it
attacks
sounds,
by gerbils.
It sounds funny when I say it, but you're susceptible, you're at risk of gerbling is what it says.
Oh, these. I get it.
Yep. When gerbils are running in the wheel and they get going a little too fast, they tend to spin right over top with the mm-hmm. wheel, and that's exactly what happens. You can do a full 360 inside this thing. And that's terribly dangerous if you've got, you know, your power plant in front of you. You've overcome the force that keeps you, the gravity that keeps you at the bottom of the wheel. It's pretty dangerous design, but like I said, this, Kerry McLean's working on it and he's getting it together.
That's so cool. That's so impressive. I have, a couple from Honda.
Okay.
Or wait, I have one from Honda.
All right.
It's called the Honda UX3. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
It is basically a unicycle. Remember I told you earlier I was going to try to look for a unicycle?
Yeah.
It's a motorized unicycle, kind of. You sit on it, and you put your hands down like you're sitting on a stool, and you're holding the stool that you're sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 2 footrests. And so it has an omnidirectional driving wheel system. The place where I found the information said the one drawback was the UX3 makes the driver look like an idiot. Because you're sitting on this stool. And it's experimental right now, but Honda, you know, Honda has their fingers in a lot of pies. They really want to figure out the next direction of transportation. I don't know if it'll be this one-wheel stool, but...
I have a guess.
Yeah, but this also, it can move forwards, backwards, as a lot of the advantages that we see in two-wheel vehicles like the Segway or something. And so the idea is that developing it this way makes it pedestrian transport and keeps you on the eye level with other people walking,
mm-hmm.
so it's easier to communicate with people instead of looking down on them from a Segway, which is funny to me because every time I see someone on a Segway, you know, I'm not the least bit intimidated.
No. No.
It also only weighs 22 pounds.
Oh, well, that's a plus.
That's a thing.
That's a plus. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, you mentioned the Segway.
Yes.
I've got a Segway vehicle that I think needs nominated here. The Segway Puma. Do you remember that from last spring?
I've heard of this, but I'm not familiar with it.
This is the personal urban mobility accessibility prototype vehicle that GM and Segway came out with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was on the Today Show or something like that, you know, in the morning.
Yep.
They had these driving around downtown New York. It was in April of 2009 when they developed this, and it's a 2-passenger electric city thing. It's like a little, it's almost like a Segway that you sit down on.
Okay.
That you sit on top of the wheels facing forward.
So still pretty small.
Side by side. Yeah, it's very small. Very small. It's just like you're in a little cage, but it is a 2-wheel balancing vehicle for, just like the Segway operates.
2 wheels?
2 wheels. You balance on 2 wheels, and it's electric,
ooh,
of course.
Okay.
Side by side seating with, you know, seat belts and a small windshield. It has a 35-mile-per-hour top speed and about a 35-mile range. So this is the ideal, or the idea behind this is for city transportation.
Yeah.
You can get to and from places within the city, and it's, you know, parking. I don't even know if you would park it, really, if you just kind of drag it over to the curb. I don't know what you do.
Right.
It's very small. Kind of an interesting mix, though, between GM and Segway, I thought. No one really expected something like this. This was kind of out of the blue.
And I like seeing this kind of stuff because it shows us, you know, I would gladly sit through 10 very weird, non-feasible design ideas,
mm-hmm.
waiting for that next one. I really like to hear about these.
Yeah, sure, elements of those 10 that make it into production.
I had seen another one that's actually one of my nominees, the Toyota iReal.
iReal.
iReal, spelled I, little I, dash, capital R-E-A-L.
Okay.
It's sort of a... It's pitched as a personal mobility vehicle, and it has 2 driving modes. There's one where you're upright,
mm-hmm.
where you're kind of sitting in it, like an exoskeleton or something, and there's another one where you're laid back, which is to go faster. And so this thing, it has 3 wheels, and they'll sort of pivot up to raise you up, and then, which, not to be weird about it, but it reminded me a lot of the scene in the Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter where they tilt him up in the straitjacket.
Yeah, so he's about at that angle, huh?
Yeah, just from the way the person tilts up.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of neat. I actually think it could really be, it really has a lot of potential for people who are disabled in some way.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How far down does that thing lay? When you're laying down for the speed setting, how far back?
It's not prone.
Oh, okay. Because this is getting closer to my ideal vehicle. the size, which is slightly larger than my own body. Is like how big I would like my car to be.
Yeah,
It's powerful.
It's really, yeah. You basically want a speed suit.
I'd like a motorcycle, only more compact.
What's funny is I don't have a lot of info on this next one, but Toyota also has this other one that is called the iFoot, which is a two-footed vehicle. It walks. You sit in it and it walks.
Okay, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's it. I've got one more, but I'm saving it for the end.
All right. Well, I got a couple here that I'll just quickly mention. Now, one that I remembered from a podcast past was the Snow Cruiser.
Snow Cruiser.
That was an odd vehicle, wasn't it?
On the skis with the turbine behind it?
It had wheels. One with we talked about a bunch of them. I know which one you're talking about, the high-speed vehicle.
Yeah.
The trimaran type thing.
That's the one.
This is the one that made the journey north and never came back. The one that could be still there, could be on the bottom of the ocean, we don't know. Interesting vehicle. The one that had in the artist's rendition, had the plane on the back.
That one was so cool.
The unstoppable vehicle that was stopped.
You should never name a vehicle unstoppable.
I think history has just proven that. Setting yourself up for trouble, like the unsinkable ship.
Yeah, unstoppable, unsinkable.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
What's next?
Let's see. You got the Snow Cruiser. T-Rex, which is a three-wheel motorcycle car.
Yeah.
Made in Canada. Campagna, I think, isn't it? Or Campania. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of the company that makes it, but it's been described as like two-thirds motorcycle, one-third car.
I would love that thing, by the way.
I love three-wheel cars. Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I think that those designs are great. There's a lot of three-wheel cars even now that manufacturers are making that never quite see the light of day. I want to say Peugeot made one recently that had really cool design. But there's a lot of historic three-wheel cars as well that we've talked about in the past, and great design. But the T-Rex is a motorcycle powered vehicle that it's got a fiberglass body, two passengers, and a 0 to 60 time of about 4.1 seconds. So it's a performance vehicle as well. And I don't know. I think it'd be a blast to drive one of those.
I think we should talk to our bosses, see if the powers that be will let us get one in the budget.
You always say that. We never get any of that stuff.
We don't know unless we try.
No, I did steal a new stapler though from the supply room.
Oh no! Yeah. Edit that part out.
Yeah, no. I didn't know it was a steal. I'm borrowing it.
Liberated.
Yeah, I liberated it. Let's see. There's next on my list here was going to be the monowheel. That's a little awkward.
Sorry, man. Snooze your lease.
Yeah. Anyways, that was good. That was a good one. I'm glad we came up with those independently too. So I'm
Oh, we didn't even say our whole thing.
No, we didn't, which is good. That was cool. You had the same idea as I did. But that wasn't my number one pick. My number one pick?
Yeah.
The Tango T600. You know about the Tango?
No.
The Tango is that crazy little electric car that looks like a deck of cards standing up on end. It's super narrow, really tall, looks like it's going to tip over. If you've never seen a photo of the Tango T600, look it up online, check it out. It's weighted so that it won't tip over. It's not that it won't ever. It's just that it's not really, very very probable that it will.
Okay.
It's an electric power car. It's a tandem seating vehicle so that the driver sits in front of the passenger, directly behind them. And again, it's a really odd looking vehicle, but this thing is a flat out performance car.
Really?
You'd never guess it by looking at it. It looks like just a city commuter. It looks like kind of a really crazy design. But it has, it's 39 inches wide. That'll give you an idea of how wide this thing is. And it has a carbon fiber body. I told you it seats two. It's an electric car. It's rear wheel drive only, so it's two wheel drive. Has 1,000 foot pounds of torque in those two wheels. So that's an incredible amount of torque for this thing. This is supercar level of torque. This is like Bugatti Veyron amounts of torque, in this little tiny Tango T600. It costs $85,000. for this car. Now, the way it's weighted, you know, you're going to say it looks like it's going to flip over in the wind.
Yeah.
The battery pack is low in the frame so that, you know, it's weighted so that it's very stable.
Kind of counterbalances.
Exactly. It's very, very stable, believe it or not, looking at it. And I've seen the price go much higher than this. There's a performance version of this that I swear I've seen this, you know, above $100,000. I thought 85 was kind of the beginning point for this, but maybe I'm wrong. Again, top speed of 150 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, which is, you know, like I said, supercar performance.
Yeah.
Out of this, it's an $85,000 car, so it'd be an expensive toy, but it just goes to show you that, you know, you don't need 1,000 horsepower and, you know, a huge V16 engine to do that.
Man, as soon as I win that car host lottery, that is, you name the car. If you want it, I will go to the Tango people.
It's tempting. I don't know if that's my choice, though. That's my top choice.
I just want you to think about it carefully.
I appreciate that.
Okay? So we'll come back a couple episodes to talk about that. Scott, I want to give you my number one. It's a little anticlimactic.
Oh, I thought maybe you had the monowheel as your number one. No. Oh, good. Okay. What's up?
My number one, which I saved, is by a, pardon me to any Japanese speakers, I'm going to butcher this, a company named Sakakibara Kakai, or I'm not even going to try to spell it, you know. There's a lot of K's in there.
Okay, sorry. That was funny to me. I don't know why that was funny. But
it was funny because probably the quizzical expression is to try to pronounce it.
Yeah.
They made something called the Landwalker, and this is my favorite strange vehicle.
The Landwalker?
The Landwalker.
Empire Strikes Back?
The Landwalker? Well, almost.
Come on.
Similar idea. The Landwalker exoskeleton.
What?
Yeah.
Exoskeleton? That would be
motorized. I didn't cheat. Top speed, 1 mile per hour.
one mile per hour.
Stands over 3 meters in height, weighs like 2,200 pounds, and it can't walk on anything but a completely smooth surface.
Wow.
It's got a 250cc engine. It's got 4-foot pedals controlling it. And it's, you know, obviously it's mainly used to promote different products. And it does have weaponry. Right now, it only fires soft plastic balls, but you can get it. I'm sure once I get this, I can modify it.
That is a ridiculous vehicle. You're right. You're right. But you know what?
It's only 350 grand.
Oh my gosh!
What?
4-foot pedals to operate.
Yeah.
You know? Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Of all, and I don't even know if you'd call this a superpower. Of all of the you know, if you want to fly, you want to do whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to have an exoskeleton.
Dude, that's like the coolest thing.
Yeah, I think maybe there's flaws to it, though. I know if you crack that sucker, you know, that's
right.
It. You're done.
Right.
You're done. But I think to be able to just kind of bail off the top of a building whenever you want to.
And then just get up.
Or just kind of walk around at will, you know, bumping into things.
Super
whatever you want.
Super strength.
I'm prone to accidents, and this might help me quite a bit. But exoskeleton, when anybody mentions exoskeleton, my ears perk up. I was astounded when you said that.
I knew you would like
that's cool.
One, man. I saved that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there are some design flaws there. We're not into the heyday of exoskeletons yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you were already kind of talking about it when you were talking about the motorcycle.
True.
So I think if we can get this thing to go a little bit faster than 1 mile an hour,
mm-hmm.
weigh a little bit less than 2,000 pounds, maybe cost a little bit less, that, you know, we might be well on the way.
It takes an awful lot of refinement for what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but look how fast we went from Pong to the PlayStation 3, right?
Agreed.
I mean, that's such an unfair comparison.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's the strangest vehicle
I
found.
Well, good. I think we had a pretty good list there. I mean, combined with the article, our two lists, I know that listeners have got their own strange vehicle lists, and we'll probably get a ton of those, which is good. We always like that.
Love that.
So, you know, if you think of any other vehicles that, you know, you may want to include in your list, just send them in to us. You can always email us. You can, just contact us any way you can. We've got a blog that you can send in information to. I'm really screwing that up.
Well, no. We've got the. I was waiting for you to see if you mentioned the blog. You guys, Scott's blog has so much stuff on it about all kinds of vehicles that you wouldn't ordinarily see.
Thanks for saving me, Ben. I was talking myself back in the corner there. I'm usually the one who just reads the email at the end of the.
Do you mean high speed stuff at HowStuffWorks.com?
That's the one.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.